Let God be true and let every devil be a liar. Let the word of God be true and let every devil be a liar. Bible said forever, O God, thy word is settled in heaven with the devil and his agents notwithstanding. Hallelujah. Very quickly in this month of supernatural supplies, we'll look at, above only supernatural supplies, we'll look at the subject of foundation for supernatural supplies. Very, very quickly. And then we'll step into a moment of darkness busting intercession. Matthew chapter 6 and in verse 33. Matthew chapter 6 and in verse 33. The Bible said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Foundation for supernatural supplies. It is actually foundation for supernatural abundance. Our objective is understanding the factors that facilitate supernatural abundance. By way of introduction, it is important to know first three things. One, that we serve the God who is the owner of the heavens and the earth. The God who is the owner of the heavens and the earth. The God who is the owner of the wealth of the universe. He's the owner of the wealth of the universe. He's the owner of the heavens and the earth. He's the owner of the wealth of the universe. The Bible said in Psalm 24 and in verse 1, it said, the owner of the wealth of the universe. Please complete that. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell therein. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and all they that dwell inside the world, they are the Lord's. Haggai chapter 2 and in verse 6 all the way to verse 9. Haggai chapter 2, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once, it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all nations. And the desire of all nations shall come. And I'll fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. And the glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former. The silver is mine, the gold is mine. We serve the God who is the owner of the heavens and the earth, dash, the owner of all the wealth of the universe, of all the wealth of the universe. Number two, God is a supernatural supplier, is the supernatural provider or supplier for his people. He does not only own the universe, he supernaturally supplies and supernaturally provides for his people. He gives his people the power to get well. According to Deuteronomy chapter 8 and in verse 18, he said, "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get well, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers this day." He giveth thee power to get well. He giveth thee power to get well. That he may establish his covenant, which is where unto your fathers this day. Psalm 35 and in verse 27. Psalm 35 verse 27 he said, "Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause." Yeah. "Let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Let the Lord be magnified, which has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. God is the supernatural supplier, supernatural provider for his people. He supernaturally provided for Abraham. He supernaturally made Abraham the wealthiest man in his generation. He supernaturally provided for Isaac. He made Isaac the wealthiest man in his generation. I'm talking from Genesis chapter 13 and in verse 2. I'm talking from Genesis chapter 13 and in verse 2. I'm talking from Genesis chapter 24 and in verse 1. And Genesis chapter 24 and in verse 35. 13 verse 2, 24 1, and Genesis 24, 35. He was a supernatural supplier and provider for Isaac, made him the wealthiest man in his days. Genesis chapter 26, and in verse 12, all the way to verse 16. He's a supernatural provider and supplier for his people. Finally, number 3. God releases his provision in the direction of his principles. He releases his provision in the direction of his principles. When his principles are followed, his provision will flow. You don't need to beg him for his provision. If you don't compromise his principles, when his principles are followed, his provision will flow. Look at that in Deuteronomy chapter 28 and in verse 1 to verse 2. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1 to verse 2. It says, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if you follow the things I tell you. Isaiah chapter 48 and in verse 17, he said, I am the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit. I give you instructions. I show you what to do. And if you do what I do, it will end you with profit. And lead you by the way which thou should go. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody shout the loudest, amen. Somebody shout the loudest, amen. Question we're about to ask and answer is, what principles should I follow in order to experience the provisions of God? What principles guarantee the provision? I'm going to look at 4 in this service, 4 in the next service. But the 4th one will be common to both services. Number 1 principle is called God first living. God first. If a man or a woman will experience the supplies of God, God must be first in their lives. In Matthew chapter 6 and in verse 33, where we read, he said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If you started from verse 32, or in fact from verse 30, wherefore if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Abraham sought God first. God was his prayer first thing in the morning. In Genesis chapter 19, verse 27, if Abraham woke up in the morning, the first person to seek was God. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. David sought God first. In Psalm 27 and in verse 4, David said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after. Not two things, not three things. I'm not looking for money. I'm not looking for fame. I'm not looking for popularity. I am looking for God. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. He sought God first. Of course, you know that when Solomon became king, the first thing and first person he sought was God. God first living. God knows, you know. The devil knows. The forces of hell know that in your life, God is first. When you live like that, in your finances, God is first. In your schedule, God is first. In your considerations, God is first. In your decisions, God is first. Then it becomes impossible for you to become a victim of empty-handedness. God first believing. Number two is hearing and obeying God's instruction and direction. Hearing and obeying God's instruction and direction. Obedience without doubt is a doorway to abundance. Human obedience is doorway to divine abundance. Hearing and obeying God's instruction and direction. Like we are hearing right now. Job 36:11. If they obey and serve him. If they obey and serve him. If they obey and serve him. They shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. There is something to obey. There is something to hear. In order to obey, in order to serve, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. Psalm 23 verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside supplies. He leads me beside the still waters. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He leads me beside supplies. Isaiah 48, 17 to 18, we just read. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou should go. Oh, that thou hast hearkened to my commandments. Then would your peace have been as a river, and your righteousness as the waves of the sea. Thy seed also will have been as the sand, and thy offspring of thy bowels like the gravel thereof. Everything abundant. But this is exciting. Isaiah chapter 49 verse 10. They shall not hunger nor thirst. Neither shall the heat nor the sun smite them. Why? For he that has mercy on them shall lead them. Even by the springs of water shall he guide them. If you will allow him to lead you, you are not permitted to hunger. If you will allow him to guide you, you are not permitted to thirst. Explosive scripture. Listen to them. They shall not hunger nor thirst. Neither shall the heat nor the sun smite them. That is, they are not permitted to be victims of the adversity of their generation. Why? For he that has mercy on them shall lead them, even by the springs of water, not by the desert. Even by the springs of water, not in the wilderness. Even by the springs of water shall he guide them. Take your seat. You are not permitted to lack water if you will allow him to guide you. Somebody say aloud, amen. That was what happened to Abraham. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. All the way. God guided him, led him. Now the Lord has said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And so, keep going. Abraham departed. He heard instruction. He obeyed the instruction. And he departed. Next major thing you will hear about Abraham. Genesis chapter 13 verse 2. By the time Abraham heard, now Abraham was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. He heard it. He departed, and the rest, we say, is history. In Genesis chapter 26, and in verse 1, all the way to verse 3, we saw how there was famine in the land, beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham, and Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar, and the Lord appeared unto him, and said, go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and I will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And then he obeyed. And in verse 12, Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 1,100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. And the man grew, was great, went forward and grew until he became very great, for he had a great possession of flocks and possession of herds, a great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a louder amen. Somebody shout the loud must say amen. The things, now so there are two dimensions of hearing and obeying. The first dimension is the general dimension of what the word of God is saying now. How to walk with God, what to do with your resources. The second dimension is the specific dimension of go to the Sea of Tiberias and cast your net. Where God is directing you into the business he wants you to do, or directing you into where your money is. The way a man will fast and pray to have ministry direction, you fast and pray to have business direction. Lord, where is my wealth? Where is my resources? Where are you directing me to? Where is my investment? Where should I put money into? Where should I take money out of? Where should I redirect my resources? Hearing and obeying God will usher you into the realm of abundance that the devil can do nothing about. It will reduce your prayer against the devil, because revelation is the termination of satanic opposition. Once Peter heard one word, launch your net into the deep for a drought. That was the end of dry season. I prophesy to somebody here today, your dry season ends today. If you are saying amen, say louder amen. And God is going to show you things in the dream of the night, in the daytime, from his word, where your resources are tied, what he needs for you to do to change your story. He's going to show that to you. And as you do them, your story will change completely. Shout the loudest amen.
You are saying amen, say it louder, amen. Hearing and obeying God's instruction and direction. Number three principle is looking away from man and looking up only to God. Looking away from man and looking up only to God. It's a principle. Many people downplay it and they wonder why they struggle. When you come to the point where your faith is only in God, not in a government, not in a system, then you are set. Psalm 34 and in verse 5, the Bible said, they looked up to him and they were lightened and their faces were not ashamed. They looked up to him and light came for them. They looked up to him and their burdens were lifted off them. That was what Abraham did with the king of the Philistines in Genesis chapter 14 and in verse 22 to verse 23. Genesis 14, 22, 23. And Abraham said unto the king of Sodom, I have lifted up mine hand unto the Lord, the most high God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread, even a shoe lashing. I will not take anything that is dying, lest thou should say, I have made Abraham rich. Lest in case you say, I was the one who made Abraham rich. I'm not going to look up to you. I'm not going to take a dime from you. God is a jealous God. From the scratch of this ministry, when we came into ministry, newly, at that time, it was very fashionable, with the exception of few ministries, some. When you saw a ministry, it was easy to know who was behind it, quote and unquote, like the sponsor. This is a big man that makes things happen here. It was more like major. It was very clear, easy. I was talking with someone the other day, a few days we were there, in a particular ministry, where opening prayer cannot happen until some people arrive. So you can, why are you doing? Why are you opening prayer for who? The main people haven't come. Yes. So there were things like that. And when we stepped in, we announced our stand. That there is not one human being that is big enough to sponsor this work. That the agenda of God here is too big for one person. That if we put the burden on one person, it will collapse the person. So we looked up to God from the scratch. And God didn't fail from the scratch. So when we say there is nobody that is behind what God is doing here, some people got angry. But that was okay because we were not willing for God's glory to be given to anybody. And he has not failed. This glory dome construction, there are people very good intention, who had very good intention, made very good intentional pledges that has not come till now. Big pledges in plenty zeros. Maybe the money they were expecting never came. But if those people were our source, we wouldn't be here right now. And God has helped me and taught me all throughout my life. During my wedding, all the people who made the pledge. The one that will bring the cow, that's right. That the cow failed. You remember? That one, the money he was expecting didn't come until the wedding has finished. The venue failed. We had to look for all manner of things. We had people in power at that time. The government changed at the time. My wife was the personal doctor of a first lady at that time. traveled with President Charles yet with her to Germany, looked after her and so on. And the way we were just, you are thinking, oh, wow, all the entourage will come for the wedding, and you are imagining what can come. They change power. In fact, nobody from that quarter, not one came, not even half a person. From the scratch to brutally look up to God, beloved brothers and sisters, it will change your story. Man can be a channel, but man must never be your source. I say man can be a channel, but man must never be your source. Some time ago, I'm talking to you as a pastor. There are people who made a commitment like, this is my pastor, I will give him a pastor's seat every month. It was a commitment every month. I'm not talking of 2-3 years ago. I'm talking of 10 years or more ago. Every month, and I will give this my pastor a 6-0 check a month. Did it faithfully like for 2-5 months. And that was a major part of your income then. And all of a sudden, for one reason or the other, the person either changed his mind or couldn't cope or something. An income didn't drop. No shift, nothing. If I go out to minister, in a couple of places, they give you honor. The day you didn't go to minister nowhere, income still doesn't change. That is the benefit of making God. I went to preach in a country many years ago, out of this country. When I went to that country, they gave me an honorarium in foreign currency, in dollars. Plenty there. It was plenty there. And if you convert it today, when I came back home, somebody who is not a member of our church at all has been looking for me for 6 months with exactly the same amount in foreign currency. That God put it in his mind to come and give me that amount. What does he do? He came and dropped it and went back to his church. He was not a member of our church. At that time, God showed me that anything that can come to you from anywhere in the world, it can meet you where you are at home. That was what Abraham did. Now, look at Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 5 to buttress this point. Jeremiah 17 verse 5, thus saith the Lord. He said, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, whose heart departed from the law. He shall be like a heath in the desert shrub or something, and shall not see when good cometh, but he shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land that is not inhabited. Why? Because he's busy looking up to man. He's busy looking up to man. But now look at the next verse. But blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out his roots by the river. He shall not see when heat comes, but her leaf shall be green. He shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Why? Because he's focused on God. He's hooked up to God. Whether there is dry season, he's not aware. Whether there is rainy season, he's not aware. That is the portion of the mind. Please, stop looking onto any human being. Stop uttering statements like, you are my last hope, my only hope. God is too jealous to tolerate such utterance. Don't say it. Don't act it. Don't behave it. Don't look it. There are people who are not looking up to man, but the way they look, you know they are looking for something. Somebody say loud amen. It's like little children that time when there is lunch in that other house that arrive. And you are just like asking, Junior, how are you? Say, fine. What's happening? So I just came to greet. He didn't say anything, but his action shows why he came. Principle number three, looking away from man and looking up only to God. Finally, walking in the covenant of supernatural supplies. I'm going to say part of this also in the next service. So I'm treating the A part of this. Walking in the covenant of supernatural supplies. Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. Genesis 8 and in verse 22. The Bible said, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. If there should be a harvest time, there must be a seed time. If there should be a harvest time, there must be a seed time. Seed time and harvest shall not cease. Leviticus chapter 27 and in verse 30. Leviticus 27 and in verse 30. He said, and all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. The tithe of the land. First, 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and in verse 6. To verse 7. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 to verse 7. He said, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. But he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as the purpose set in his heart. So let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth the cheerful giver. Somebody say, aloud amen. If there will ever be a harvest time, there must be a seed time. If there is ever going to be an open heaven over your life, there must be the key that opens that heaven. Your giving, that is not negotiable. It's not negotiable at all. Your generosity towards God affects your prosperity in life. Your generosity towards God. Generosity towards the kingdom. Somebody say loud amen. There is a connection between liberality and prosperity. I'll show you a scripture in the book. Alright, we'll see Proverbs first, chapter 11, verse 25. Proverbs 11, 25. It said, the liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered. Verse 24 of Proverbs 11, 24 said, there is he that scattereth and yet increaseth. He is releasing, he is distributing, he is giving. Some people thought that he is going to reduce. He's giving his tithes. He's giving towards projects. He's giving towards evangelism. He's attending to the poor. He's impacting the life of his priest. Some people thought he's going to go down. He said there is he that scattereth and yet increaseth. And there is the one that is holding it back more than necessary and he tended to poverty. He thought that keeping it will increase him. No. He said, the liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered again himself. Somebody say aloud, amen. There is a grace for giving. There is a grace for generosity. Paul the Apostle said in the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 20, and in verse 35, Acts 20:35, he said, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring, you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. The blessing comes in the giving, not in the receiving. Listen to me. What you receive can make you happy, but what you release is what makes you blessed. Your destiny is not in what enters your hand. Your destiny is in what is released out of your hands. I was addressing somebody who sent it a message. I think he was asking for help. And he said, at the end of the message, he said, may you never be hungry. May you never be naked. As he's praying for me, may you never be hungry. May you never be naked. I told him, I said, that prayer is unnecessary. Totally unnecessary. One, by my connection to God. Two, by my practices of the covenant. 1 + 1 in any language is what? I don't need to pray not to be naked. I am doing things that avoid nakedness. And I don't even need anybody's wish not to be hungry. What I am doing makes hunger impossible. Not just me, but anybody connected, related, and associated. Am I communicating at all? It makes it impossible. There are things you do and you walk in that make some prayers unnecessary. I am too aware. It doesn't matter what happens to the economy. If I am doing what I am doing with God, our experience shows that no economy has ever tempered with us as a commission or as individual. Never. Not once. Our experience in the scripture is true. When men say they are cast down, you are saying that is a practical experience. Where we have gone upper than we were when things were normal. Hallelujah. It's a new day for you. If you are battling with giving offering and all that, you are just wasting your time. Rescue yourself in a hurry. Rescue yourself in a hurry and be on your way to your high places. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody say aloud, amen. There are people seated here today. The time is going to come shortly. When if you drop 1 million in an offering, it is normal. Shortly, very shortly. Somebody say amen. Somebody say louder, amen. Somebody shout the loud voice, amen. Shout amen at the top of your voice. If you are saying amen, stand on your feet and shout the loudest amen. Let me say to you that principles are stronger than principalities. It doesn't matter the devil that is fighting you from your father's house. Even if the name of your village is called Wretched, there are things that you will do that will make you escape the demons of that village. Be upstanding. What God is helping us to see and experience from our part of the world, our part of the country. Nobody dares it. No, I mean, you can't come near. But there are things you do following certain principles that make you escape principalities. They are looking at you and they are helpless. Beloved, uphold the principles. Walk with the principles. In the second service, we are going to look at a few more principles. 3.5 more. We are going to look at the second portion of this one we just dealt with. I'd like you to pick up the message of the second service so that you can have the complete seven things that we are looking at today. And then we'll be looking at love for God in the next service, passion for kingdom expansion in the next service, and walking in integrity and avoiding crookedness. That one, everybody must hear it. Because every attempt to cut short, to do shortcuts, will cut short your destiny in God. Every attempt to be crooked will confirm you as wretched. We'll look at that in detail in the second service. Whatever God has not given to you, don't take it. It will not increase you, it will decrease you. If you doubt me, when you catch Adam, ask him. The day you find Gehazi, find out from him. The day you see Achan, you let him, he should tell you. But it's a new day for you. I like you to apply yourself rigidly. There are things you have to do tenaciously and persistently before you see the results. It's not kalukalu. Where I gave yesterday, I was expecting something today. Nothing came. That's not what we're talking about. And I am going to deal with dimensions of harvest that you don't know about. Right? Because not all harvest is monetary. There are harvests that will do for you what cash cannot do. We'll look at it before the month is over. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? But I want you to know and understand that the covenant works. We prove it over and over and over and over. And the covenant works. Somebody say amen. One day I went to Lagos during a program. And the Lord asked me to give something on behalf of our church to our current ministry. And then he asked me to give something from myself also. But what he's asking me to give from myself is half of what the whole church is to give. Okay, I shall try. I gave that thing in January. It returned back 7 times before the end of January. But this is after consistency of 20 something years. After a consistency of years. It's a new day for you. Would you lift up your 2 hands at this moment and begin to speak to God and thank Him? We are going to step into some season of praying, but before then, lift your 2 hands where you are and say after me, say, Father. Say it louder, say, Father. Thank you for your word to me today. Father, I give you the praise and the honor for the intensity of your word. Life-changing word. Destiny-molding word. Be glorified in Jesus' name. Open your mouth and thank the Lord for His word. Jesus' precious name. Lift up your 2 hands and say after me, say, Father, I receive the grace to comply with your principles in this season. I receive the grace to live in accordance with your principles for my life in this season. I receive that grace now. Open your mouth and pray. Speak to God. Thank you.
me that grave. In Jesus' precious name. Shout the loudest amen. Shout the loud most amen. I can see several of our locations connected today. I thought that they are on there. They'll be ministering by themselves. Well, it looks like you are enjoying our presence, and we too are enjoying your presence. Hallelujah. Prophesy the same grace flowing here will flow there. Now listen, people. That book of Isaiah that says, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. It looks like we are in those days right now. Amen. Gross darkness. It's one thing for the land to be dark. It's another thing for the darkness to be gross. But that is not what is bothering us. He's saying in the midst of that gross darkness, the Lord will arise upon you. Listen, no matter how hard the devil tries, the darkness of the world and of the earth is not permitted, never permitted, to swallow up the church. And I'm talking because I was telling Dr. Mr. Nancy yesterday, I said, it looks like there is a climate in the air. A climate that attacks joy. A climate of sorrow. That is a dark black climate. Even it is reflecting in the weather. For 3 or 4 days now, there are places in this country plane has not landed. I was to go to Ibadan on Friday to minister. I ministered on Thursday first, then Friday. I ministered from the altar here because plane couldn't land there. For badness of weather. Then the darkness of happenings. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Hello, sir. Please pray for us. Pregnant woman that is almost 9 months pregnant, kidnapped from her husband's house. As at the last time they said to me, they said, the kidnappers have taken her blood sample. To do what? They asked for money and they said, we don't have the money to pay. He said, all right, don't worry, don't bother at all. We will deliver the child and carry the baby and sell it. It will even fetch them more money. Husband is right there. Darkness. Yesterday, a man called me in the morning. He was sobbing like he would die because of a news of somebody very close and special, like a father to him, that passed. Before evening, he called me back again. Another person. He was crying the more. He said, Pastor, pray for me. Only me in one day. Only me in one day. He said, what do I do? It's a darkness. It's a blanket. And that is why we are about to pray. You will not be swallowed in this darkness. That amen can be better. You will not be swallowed in this darkness. You will not be swallowed in this darkness. You will not be swallowed in this blanket. That is why we read that passage. So even though darkness cover the earth and gross darkness the people, the Lord shall arise upon you, and your case and your story shall be different. Somebody say after me, I will not be swallowed. I cannot be swallowed. I shall not be swallowed in this darkness. Open your mouth and pray in the spirit. Darkness.
John chapter 1 from verse 1 to 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Lift up your voices and say, Father,
we
ask that the light
of
your presence, your spirit, and your word will shine over the darkness of our world today,
and completely
dissolve
the
agenda
of
darkness
in our world,
in our world,
in our midst.
Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus, Father,
we ask
that the light
of
your presence,
your spirit,
and your word
will
shine
over the darkness
of our world
today,
and completely
dissolve
the agenda
of
darkness
in our world,
in our world,
in our midst. With singing,
contrary to the agenda of the enemy. Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus, lift up your voice and pray.
In Jesus' name. Amen. We are going to the third prayer point and then the fourth. Third, Psalm 124, verse 1 to 8, or verse 1 to the end. Everybody read it like you mean it. One to go. If it has not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it has not been the Lord who was on our side, when men rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us up quickly. When their wrath was kindled against us, then the waters had overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. He said, blessed be the Lord who has not given us as a prey to their feet. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who has made heaven and earth. The snare will be broken. Every trap of destruction will not catch you. Every trap of premature death will not catch you. The issue is that the snare can come in various ways. It will come various ways. Ways of thought. What is life all about? One lady told me, said, can you find out from God whether he knows that I exist? I said, God knows you exist. She kept on talking like that until she slept and never woke up. Depressed to death. Snares and traps can come in other forms of carelessness. Other forms of unwise action and unwise behavior. Am I communicating? The devil is not omnipotent. The devil can't finish you at his will. Quote that any day. He cannot finish you at his will. The devil is not powerful enough to do whatever he wants with your life when he wants it. Job chapter 12 and in verse 10. He said, in whose hand? The hand of God is the soul of every living thing. Is your soul in the hand of Satan?
No.
Is your soul in the hand of which?
No.
What did he say? In whose hand is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all of mankind? Your soul, your breath is not in the hands of the devil. The devil cannot be the determinant of the extent and the length of your breath. Driver's traps. Traps of utterance. Somebody pass. And some people are trying to sympathize. Well, who knows? Who is the next? It could be anybody next time. Satan say, eh. It means you are the next then. Somebody say, I can't be the next. Say, the devil is the next. So you are going to pray, Father, no trap. I reject every trap. I will not be a victim of any trap. Lift your voice and pray it according to what is written. Say, Father,
I escape
every trap of destruction set for me in this season. In the name of Jesus,
I decree
that all such traps and snares be destroyed by the fire of the Holy Ghost in this season. In the name of Jesus. Again, say, Father, I escape every snare or trap of destruction set for me in this season. In the name of Jesus Christ, I decree that all such traps and snares be destroyed by the fire of the Spirit. Now, open your mouth and pray. Jesus, precious name. Amen. Finally, Genesis 32 and in verse 28. He said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men. And you have prevailed. There is a power that makes men to prevail. That is the power to defeat what confronts you. The power to face the future without fear. How many of us need that power right here? The power to move despite adversity. The power to collapse what confronts you. And the power to know there is a tomorrow that no devil can stop. Am I communicating? Look at the prayer point and say, Father,
I make demands
on your power to prevail over the adverse forces of life in this season. I receive the power to face my future without fear. Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. Now this prayer will destroy every root of fear. That was the power that made Jacob know that Esau can't kill him. That made him encounter Esau with audacity. After 21 years of pursuit, it doesn't matter what has pursued you all these years. Today, the pursuit is over. Lift your voice and say, Father, I make demands on your power to prevail over the adverse forces of life in this season. I receive the power to face the future without fear. Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus, open your mouth and pray. I receive that power to face the future without fear. Managayada hasadida. I make demands on your power to prevail over the adverse forces of life in this season. I receive the power to face the future without fear. Oh Lord, I make demands on your power to prevail over the adverse forces of life in this season. I receive the power to face the future without fear. Oh Lord. In Jesus' precious name. The Lord has said and answered us in Jesus' name. Lift your hands and appreciate Him. Honor Him and adore Him. The blood of Jesus sets me free from shame and sorrow. The blood of Jesus sets me free. You will not know shame in this season, and you will not know sorrow in this season. If you are saying amen, you say louder amen. If you came with your bottle of oil, get it ready. And if you didn't come, again, I warned the other day, don't let ask anybody, give me your oil, except you know the person. We live in the days of very, very terrible diabolic. Somebody shared this to me personally. How the oil that someone put in her hand or his hand or something, place it on the head, arrived on the nest in snakes and serpents and all manner of. It was more like a demonic initiation. You know, devils go to church. They go to church. Oil, it can even be oil from strange places, from strange altars. So you pick it yourself, and then you know the person that you're asking for. You trust him. Somebody say loud amen. That is how desperate the devil is. They try to even go to church to look for disciples. But they will never catch you. While you get your bottle of oil ready, if you don't have, I'll pray on your bare hand, you lay your hand on your head. Alright? And then if you know the person near you, can get to you. The blood of Jesus sets me free from shame and sorrow. Let's sing the song in celebration.
The blood of Jesus sets me free from shame and sorrow. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus.
The blood of Jesus sets me free. From shame and sorrow, the blood of Jesus.
The blood, the blood, the blood, the blood of Jesus.
The blood of Jesus.
The blood of Jesus.
From shame and sorrow.
The blood, the blood, the blood, the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. The blood. The blood of Jesus set me free.
The blood of Jesus set me free.
The blood, the blood, the blood, the blood of Jesus.
The blood of Jesus
set me free.
From sin and sorrow.
Set me free. The blood, the blood, the blood of Jesus.
The blood of Jesus
set me free.
From sin and sorrow. Three more times.
The blood, the blood, the blood, the blood.
Father, thank you. We give you the praise and we give you the honor for your goodness and your mercies. Please take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Very, very quickly, while we get set for the anointing, we are taking a series, very, very brutal series, on preservation by the blood at the commanding the day midnight prayer, starting from tonight. Pick communion points of contact. Ensure you are there 11:30 p.m. Inform your friends, invite your friends, and let's work on that. Continuing the midweek services on a Tuesday healing service, midweek service. Please don't miss one day on this supernatural supply. I perceive in my spirit that God wants to change somebody's level permanently. Struggling, begging, and borrowing is over in your life forever. The principles that shall be taught in this season, they are changing your lives. In the name of Jesus. From Thursday, Friday, the Port Harcourt Healing and Deliverance Crusade is holding. Or I mentioned the Power Communion Service already. Ensure that we are there and the principles. Port Harcourt Healing and Deliverance Crusade. We have the jingle. We could play it at the Yakubu Gowon Elekaya Stadium. Explosive time in God's presence. It shall be. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Everybody in the Port Harcourt area. Ensure that you...
Crusade 2024 with Dr. Pastor Paul and Dr. Mrs. Becky Paul Eneche. Team, the day of his power.
Shake it, shake it, shake
it. Music, Chairman Jesus, Minister Prosper Ujimana, DUC. Debbie, Deborah Enege, Minister Ali, and a host of others. Date, Thursday the 15th to Friday the 16th of February, 2024. Time, 5 p.m. daily. Venue, Yakubu Gowon Stadium, a.k.a. Elekahia Stadium, Port Harcourt, River State, Nigeria. Minister's Flaming Fire Conference, 8 a.m. on Friday, 16th of February, 2024, at number 3, Maxwell Adoki Street, off Peter Audley Road, Transamadi, Port Harcourt. Inquiries, call 0816-506-7904. It's Port Harcourt Healing and Deliverance Crusade 2024, the day of his power, with Dr. Pastor Paul and Dr. Mrs. Becky Paul Enenche, live in the city of Port Harcourt. Don't be left out of this divine outpouring. Come and see the Almighty at work, powered by Dunamis International Gospel Center.
Give the Lord a big clap and a shout of praise. Invite your friends and your loved ones. Please place the testimonies on your handles, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and all of that. And the Lord bless you in Jesus' name. Home church meeting this Saturday. Explosive time in God's presence. Next Sunday, we'll have an impartation service. Every material you want God to impart for you, you present them. And of course, we have the online foundation class already commenced. Already commenced. I think the announcement here will be changed. It's already commenced. Ensure that you are a part of that online foundation class. And God bless you in Jesus' precious name. Stretch your two hands in front of you. Father, I pray for the hands of every giver. I ask that harvest will look for them from the north, the south, the east, and the west. Thank you, Master. And thank you, Adonai. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.